Blog Talk Radio.
As the legend goes, an old Cherokee was teaching his grandson about life. He said to the boy, "A fight is going on inside me. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, guilt, lies, superiority, and ego. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you, and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed."
Broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we're gonna walk it out. Ooh, mountains, we're gonna walk it out, and ooh, mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise unafraid, I'll rise up, and I do it 1,000 times again. And I'll rise up, I'll like the waves, I'll rise up, in spite of the ache, I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,000
Good evening, good afternoon, or even good morning. It all just depends on what part of the world you're listening. Bienvenidos, que tal, namaste, oki, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show, broadcasting live every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here on blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffects. That's the letter FX at the end. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties, holding down the other half of our hosting duties. Some call him the Lions Historian. I should have some drums like a James Brown band. Some call him Unc. I just simply call him my best friend because he's my dad, Bill Green.
James Brown band. Okay.
So that's the best I can do with that. What's happening, man? How you doing?
Yeah, okay. Hey, what's happening? Wilfredo, how you doing, man? I'm hanging. I'm hanging in.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure it out.
I think a lot of that's going around today, man. It's like that for over here too.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff, no question about it, you know. And I'm discovering, after 75 years, I'm discovering something about myself. I pay more attention to rough goings than I do good times. And I don't know why that is, but I just take good times for granted that they're there, and I just kind of wave a stick at them. But, man, rough goings, oh, my God. You know, it's like, you know, the Lord has turned against me. I know that we're here to be happy, you know, and I know there's more to life than just speeding it up. I get that, you know, but I think I get so caught up in the expected, and sometimes the non-expected always becomes the expected, you know, the expected difficulty. It's almost like, I think that may be part of the residue of being raised Catholic. It's like, uh-oh, things are going too good. Or, uh-oh, you just talked about a hope you have. Uh-oh, you know, there you are with your arms full of fine china, and you know what's going to happen now. The Lord's going to put roller skates on you and snatch the rug out from under you. You know, it's just a strange thing. So, you know, it's almost like I'm afraid to say, hey, man, everything is fine. That's crazy. All right, so there it is. Enough of that.
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
No, I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm doing the same thing you were doing. It's funny.
It's crazy.
It's funny. I was talking to one of my tribe earlier because, you know, I'm planning on taking a trip back down to the Big D in a few weeks.
Dallas, in case y'all are tripping about reference to Big D. Go ahead.
But in Dallas, yeah. And so he was like, you know, you're all set, lock and loaded, you ready to go? And it was kind of weird because everything is already set, you know, like transportation, like staying arrangements, everything set. And you know me, man. I push the minute, you know, as much as I can. I'll squeeze the seconds out for minutes in a heartbeat.
Got to crank it up. Yeah, got to crank it up.
And basically, ladies and gentlemen, it's putting your nuts in the vise, you know, because
I wait till
the last minute. Hey, I mean, you're talking, you know. But I'm just saying, the references is just how we
put ourselves. Where are we going with tonight's show, man?
We put ourselves under unnecessary pressure. You know, that's the whole point. So didn't have this unnecessary pressure. And it's like, oh, wow, everything's taken care of. Oh, what, something's going to happen. You know, why?
Yeah.
This don't feel right. You know, but it's just interesting how that happens sometimes.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. So shifting out of that as quickly as possible before everything starts falling apart, right?
Hey, I got plenty
I'm gonna get out the way so you can do the due diligence.
Right on. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, even if you don't know, at the beginning of every show, we like to remind you all, the listeners, of a few things. The first thing is that we want to make sure you've got something to write with. So grab a pencil and pad, a pen and paper, a post-it note, a marker, back of an envelope, a napkin, something you've got to write with. We want to make sure that if you have any questions for tonight's show, that you do write it down. We don't want you to forget it. Any comments? Who knows? You may even pick up something from our banter in advice. Who knows what you might pick up? But in all seriousness, we want to make sure that that you don't miss anything or that we don't forget anything, because we'd like to offer you the opportunity to share. So if you have any questions or comments, you're probably wondering, well, yeah, how can I share? How can I do that? I'm glad that you're asking that. We have a couple of ways that you can do so. One way is that you can call in directly. Our phone number here, and hopefully you've got that pen and pad handy, our number here is 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. And when you're ready to ask a question, a comment, you know, because we want to hear from you, press 1 on your keypad. That'll put your number in our queue, and we'll bring you in as soon as we can. Maybe you don't want to call in. We have a chat room that's open for you on the Blog Talk Radio site. You can access the chat room with your free Blog Talk Radio profile. At the bottom of today's episode on the website, you'll see the chat room. You can just jump in there. What's up, Adam? Adam, my man, Primo's always holding it down there in the chat room. Or we always have ye old Facebook, the old reliable, the new old reliable, right? It's not that old, but it's not that new. But we have the Facebook event page that's set up, so you can also post any questions or comments in the discussion tab. And I want to offer a quick apology here. I realize that there may have been some shows that we set up on the Facebook event page, and the event page wasn't, you weren't able to post comments or questions. I've noticed that sometimes when I set up the page, I don't know about you, Dad, but when I set up the page, I just noticed today that there's a part at the end before we publish. It asks if other people can post on the event page, and it's always checked as no. So I don't know if anybody else listening had a problem, if they even utilized this or not. But if so, let us know. If you didn't receive an invitation, let us know. Again, we want to hear from you. The mic is always open for you. Again, press 1. Press 1. You said you didn't know? Press 1 on the keypad when you dial in, 516-453-6094. There's just a little something from your friends here at the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. There you have it. So I'm sure Dad will be back in a minute. I think he might have stepped away for a second. We'll see.
I didn't know I was up. Yeah, I just I just muted so I wouldn't make any distracting background noise. Yeah.
We're right here. We just ran the due diligence out the way.
Right. Great job as always. I don't have any comments that have come back from others about any related issues that you just spoke on. You know, I still don't know how to even access comments online. I've talked to you about that between now and Monday to figure out what I need to do to catch that. For that matter, even Facebook, I don't know how to catch Facebook comments either. But one thing I did want to talk about, and I think I just want to take a quick second. This isn't about the slate. A couple things. This is cool, unless there were some other things you wanted to be sure to get in.
No, I was just going to get on the gripe about how it's cold up here in Chicago. It's not really that cold, man. I mean, it's like 50 degrees, but
oh, my God.
Man,
I would love to feel 50 right now, 50 degrees. But I'd love to feel 50, too. Yeah.
It's been a little chilly, man, but it's cool. You know, I'm keeping my neck 50. Covered up and putting a hoodie on, you know, that type of stuff. But it's just funny.
That's a good move because open situation to really, you know, catch a cold or something, because it takes the body a while to acclimate the shifts in temperature, you know, and sometimes we just say, you know, it's just the body taking time to acclimate itself to a shift in temperature, and we don't take care of certain things like covering the neck up, like wearing a hoodie, whatever the case may be. It's taking care of yourself, right on, man. Okay, what were you going to say?
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't want to sneak that.
No, I was reflecting earlier this morning while I was out in the cooler weather. And last week we were playing, Earth, Wind, and Fire, the September song. Do you remember?
Right. Yeah,
and,
I remember.
You know, so this morning I'm like, man, do you remember when you changed the filter in the furnace or had the air ducts cleaned? You know, all the stuff we got to do to stay warm. It was just kind of funny to me. It was just my own little private joke. But that was it, man. Mm-hmm. That was all I was going to gripe about. So please continue that.
Okay. I don't even remember now, but that's okay. I do. Yeah, it was not so much maybe a gripe or a complaint, but I asked somebody who I have asked before who periodically comes on the show, and they don't ever say anything. They just kind of monitor. And that's someone who I periodically would just ask, you know, how did they like the show? And this particular time, you know, they said that, yeah, it was okay. It was boring. And I said, boring? And the person said, yes, all you talked about was bowling. And I thought, is that all we talked about? You know, and I think what we were alluding to, Mundy, is the word, the thought, the game, bowling, and how when people hear bowling, they do think, you know, there's really nothing to that. But the show was anything but just talking about bowling. We talked about a person who found a calling at 58, has been pursuing it for 17 years. Yeah, now almost 75. And also coaching a team for a high school that had never, ever gotten any farther than just showing up at the lanes for the time designated to practice, and they sat around eating snacks and kicking it. And then, oh, yeah, okay, let's go throw a few bowling balls down there and knock over a few pins. And given, you know, an agenda to start, you know, a program at the high school, which led to two state championships, but they placed in the finals every year for 7 years in a row. And this is a team from a school that didn't have anything but dust in the trophy case for bowling. And they have like two state championships and over 45 other pieces of bowling hardware. And he's gotten several young ladies into colleges on a full scholarship to bowl, you know, and has three young ladies on the Pro Bowlers Tour. We talked about all that, didn't we? Or has age finally got the better of me? And I just
not yet, man. Age ain't got you yet, man. We talked a lot of, you know, bowling.
Did we cover those points? Didn't we cover those points?
Yes, we covered those points.
Okay,
yes,
I just wanted to be sure. That's all. I just wanted to be sure. And the other thing, I wanted to stress tonight, and I wanted to go on air to stress it, so people don't think I'm picking on you or whatever. Y'all will hear me kind of stress the idea more than ever about ending at 8 o'clock, which will mean wrapping up like maybe 7 minutes before the show ends, and us really beginning to implement that discipline. And in case, you know, the question is why, you know, well, I'll be glad to answer. We're trying to move this show to the next level, which means syndication. And the process of syndication and even the methods or the application, if you will, of doing it, which is not like filling out an application. It's more direct. A lot of it has to do with program scheduling requires ending on time so not to interfere with the programs that come after us. And that's a discipline that we are sorely lacking, and we just kind of written it off that we have enough allotted time to go over time and all that, and that's fine. But we continue to do it, and I see myself developing a bad habit around that instead of being more structured with sticking to the schedule. So y'all going to hear me harping on that, you know, ad nauseum just to get us into the practice of it, because to move it to the next level means to be on a radio show that requires programs end on time. So I just wanted to, you know, just to make that statement. And also in making the statement, hopefully we'll draw positive vibes, positive encouragements, positive prayers, you know, from our listening audience, from the millions.
10 million.
To listen in. Okay. That's it.
Okay.
Hello? Hello? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you had a chance to check out what I sent you, but that's one of the highlights of what my man was talking about in explaining what the process of syndication is. So anyway, just so y'all know, that's what, you know, doesn't mean necessarily that we'll be perfect at it, but it sure doesn't hurt to try to end at 8. Yeah. It's an hour show. Yeah. Okay.
But next. That doesn't mean that we still want to hear from you all.
So, well, yeah.
I just want to keep putting that out there, you know, and the phone lines are open. You know, they're saying that we don't, they don't know when to call in. So I keep throwing it out there.
Okay. All righty. So you got anything hot and heavy that you wanted to talk about?
I think you're actually about to start on something that was already on your mind. So go ahead and kick it off.
No. I what was on my mind was the things I talked about. What we have discussed as far as tonight's show, I just don't know if it was something that you were really pressed to talk about, you know, and I'll be more than happy to, you know, let you go first, you know. And
oh, we're good, Dad. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's see. I guess just starting right from the top, I'm looking at, and I read something that should be good news for politicos, for the political audience, for politicians and Congress people alike, that that the Senate, you know, supported a bill, which they voted on, the committee did, to come together with a bill that would not allow what happened January 6th a couple of years ago to ever happen again. And it passed by 14-1 vote. And talking about the bill, naming the bill, now that wasn't my point. My point was Ted Cruz, you know, old Ted Cruz, state senator from Texas, Republican, my guy, Ted Cruz, was the one who voted against it, saying that it was bad for democracy. You know, the bill is called the Electoral Count Act, which I'm assuming that everybody knows that that's really what confirms a person being elected president, the number of electoral college votes to get, that the person gets. So they could actually lose the popularity vote, but win enough electoral college votes to be president. That actually happened with Donald Trump, where he didn't get as many popularity votes as he did electoral college votes, you know. Right. And anyway, so if you all remember, I know we're really stretching our memories, but I have to go back 2 years to recall that Trump said that it was, you know, a fiasco, that it was, Bush and others too. I mean, like, let's see, I don't remember, Kennedy, I think, barely won the popularity vote, but there was, there's about two, three, I'm not sure how many. Yeah, Bush was one, but there were others too. But my point is that the Electoral College, we did a whole show on that, and I really am proud of the work we did, because I learned a lot about the Electoral College, not just that I already knew that, you know, that's the number of votes per state that are supposed to be consistent with whatever the state votes for. So like if Illinois popularity vote is in favor of, let's say, Biden, the Electoral College votes should go toward Biden. But sometimes, depending on the state and depending on the rules that the state has, it doesn't come out to even math. But anyway, I learned that not only then are the Electoral College votes counted for accuracy, but it's in January that the vice president seals the deal by authenticating the accuracy of the vote. You know, so it's like not just getting the Electoral College votes, then having to prove that they're accurate, and then having the vice president literally sign off on it. So it's, first of all, it's antiquated. It shouldn't even be. Yeah, and the reasons for it go all the way back, of course, to slavery, you know, where black folks were counted as three-fifths of a vote. I know we three-fifths of a man, three-fifths of a human, three-fifths of a woman, but it really was three-fifths of a vote. And the reason was because the southern states, in some cases, had more black, a greater black population than white, like in the major southern states. So the North didn't want to allow the South to have that kind of power to be able to count slaves as a total population. You know, so that was one of the things that came about. So it was all political. We weren't three-fifths of a person any more than we're black if we have 1/18th of a drop of black blood in our veins. You know, that's all done by the United States of America, that is the most colorphobic country ever, period. And hasn't changed, you know, since before slavery. You know, so if there was a country before slavery that included white people, yeah. You know, so, you know, but the whole idea of it, the law was originally passed back in 1876, and it had to do with the election between Rutherford B. Hayes and Samuel J. Tilden. It was a very, and we talked about that. It was right on the heels of a race riot, you know, that happened where, you know, had red shirts, that's what they were called, and they were riding around, you know, I mean, they were like, you know, not just beating up black folks, but they were like killing them, you know, wow, never happened since then, right? So it all ties into history, but why would history be an issue for Cruz when he can simply say maintaining this bill, 130 years old, that has been overlooked, and all that's being done is being reactivated or revalidated, is knowing about its history. Of course, Cruz would say it's bad for democracy. I mean, how stupid, you know, how inconsiderate, how, I don't even know, Will, help me out. Give me some superlatives. Give me some adjectives. You know, I'm trying not to cut. he did all that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just had a question. Like, didn't he even say something about still trying to give energy to like voter fraud or something like that? Like, it won't be able to. Like, they're still screaming voter fraud. Like, you know, the election was still a fraud. Like, Trump still won, sort of thing.
I'm not even, you know, going into that. That's never stopped. I'm just talking about the statement he made. Bad for democracy. You know, all the rest of the stuff to me don't even matter. You know, if you know history regarding this bill, how can you make a statement like that, Ted? I mean, does he really think people are that illiterate, that ignorant, that stupid? You know, but I guess so, because he's still the senator for Texas. You know, and that's not a slip of the tongue. He, 15 votes, and his reason for not voting for it, this is Republicans and Democrats. He wasn't the only Republican, which I could dig him having to say that to stand up for the masses. But, you know, this was a bipartisan committee. His was the only vote, and his reason is my point. Bad for democracy. So the other 14 are what? You know, I mean, and what bugs me is that this isn't the first item that the newsmongers are talking about. Yeah, so it bleeds right in the point you're making, and it just gives more credence and more strength to the point you're making. You know, it's just, again, saying he might as well just said, no, I don't want to vote against this because, you know, these folks had a right to riot. Because Trump did win. He might as well just said that.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Right. So I'm, you know. Anyway, yeah. So
I don't know what to make of what's happening with these comments. And it makes me wonder. It makes me ask the same question that you just said. Like, do they really believe that people follow these? But yeah, they do. You know,
remember Texas. Yeah, you know, he's a senator from Texas. Yeah, so he's reflective of the thoughts of his fellow Texans, right?
And Republicans, right?
And Republican, but he's, you know, he's the mouthpiece of, you know, his fellow Texans. Because he doesn't say he's only speaking for Republicans. You know, I don't know. He's the senator for all the Texans, you know, because he believes in democracy. So anyway, you know, I just thought that just really poked me the wrong way, you know, that a 15 panel vote and 14 bipartisan votes were for this thing to keep what happened January 6th from ever happening again. Which isn't a new bill. It's one that's over 130 years old that he would say is bad for democracy. You know, so, you know, what was going on in 1876, right? Fast forward to now. And somewhere in between, I guess, nothing but good democratic policy has followed America every step of the way, right? For the past 130 years, it's all been good democracy. So what happened in Washington was reflective of the democratic process at work. Okay. Yeah. So obviously 14 of his constituents didn't know what the hell they were talking about. It's embarrassing. I guess that's the word I'm really looking for. You know, for me living in Texas right now, to have to in the same breath say, yeah, he's, you know, a state senator. You know, he's appointed to Congress. He's from our state. Yeah. I mean, a U.S. senator, not a state senator, excuse me. That's just, man. You know, and yeah, so it just leaves past the way for the argument that has been going on for the last 2 years, you know, that the election was a fraud. And now, of course, what it does is give even more, add more fuel to the fire that will allow, you know, all those. But of course, you're going to see, you know, Republicans do it more so than Democrats, because Democrats just at this particular juncture just don't play that game. You know, any Republican who loses the race is going to, you know, cry foul, going to say it wasn't legal. They stole it from him. And he has all of these past 2 years, he or she has these past 2 years to, and all of his comments like Cruz or whoever, to throw it back in people's faces to cause, again, pandemonium and chaos, you know, around the thing that is supposed to be a temporary job in the first place. I fear for the direction of this country, but I guess, you know, that must not be a concern of the majority. But I guess we'll find out in a couple months. Yeah.
Yeah. This morning I was out doing some work and came across a neighborhood that was filled with a lot of support for Trump. Like, I mean, big signs in people's yards, you know, 2024. It was really kind of shook me for a second. You know, it was just like turning around a corner. It was just all of a sudden, boom. And it just kind of, yeah, just, you know what I mean by it shook me, just kind of trouble.
Hell yeah, I know what you mean, man. It's a person lives right across the alley from us, and they have Trump sign in their garage lit up at night.
Lights
Trump,
up.
2024, you know. So, you know,
that's my president.
Go ahead.
Big old sign. No, I'm just saying, that's what big old sign. That's my president.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Trump, 2020.
Go ahead.
So let me ask you a question. I'm going to put you on the spot, you know, something I never do.
Uh-oh.
Are all Trumpians, are all Retrumplicans racist? That's part one. Part two is, is Trump a racist?
Hmm.
So let me flip it around. Is Trump a racist? Yeah, let me ask you that first.
I got to answer that, huh?
No, you don't. I mean, you know, you can take the fifth, I guess. You know, that's up to you. I think he is. I don't think he's play acting. I think, you know, Trump is a racist. Now, that's my statement. And I think anybody who supports him, whether they know it or not, subscribes to racism.
Even if they're a person of color.
No, people of color who support Trump have another diagnosis.
Okay.
You know, won't even get into that. You know, well, let's put it this way. A black person or a person of color who supports Trump has a racist ideology. Now, they may not know it because I understand, never underestimate the power of denial. So people may really, that Trump represents some kind of policy that would make America better. You know, make America great again. I don't know when America stopped being its own idea of great. You know, so I don't know what the hell that means. But I imagine that some people have no problem following Trump's policy because they think, as he was never a politician, you know, so don't even use his political background or resume as an argument. So some people, I assume, must really think his business savvy is well worth their support, even though, you know, he has been fraudulent, he has been bankrupt, he has cheated, you know, almost every endeavor he's done, he has failed time and time again to make good on loans. He has failed to repay debts owed, you know, so somewhere down the line, people have overlooked that, I guess because they enjoyed watching him on TV. I just don't know how an intelligent person who takes democracy seriously could, in taking a look at, in whatever method they would use, Google or otherwise, Trump's background and see him as a effective politician. I just don't see how. But what do I know? So the only thing I can think and feel is that he represents a population of this country that really only wants it to be white. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
Or white and non-threatening to a white dominant society. You know, and I think that's what he means by making America great again, returning to the basic tenets of those so-called founding fathers. You know, nothing
yeah.
but old white dudes who had a lot of land and a lot of money and made up 6% of the population dictated what the direction of the country would be. I think that's what, but unfortunately, even if that's what he supports it without intelligence because he doesn't read. He doesn't study. He doesn't speak like a man approved, you know. So he speaks to the fanaticism, you know, of this country. He speaks to the fear of this, the ignorance, you know, and the laziness and the greed of this country, you know. And, you know, greed, of course, is, you know, not contingent on racist attitudes. You know, that's part of being, you know, a member of this country. You know, it's not like you almost have to be greedy to be an American. And, of course, if you're not, then you feel like a failure because you don't have a lot of, you know, things to show for your success. It's crazy. And people are so seduced by the idea of financial success that that's the only success that matters. So, you know, I do believe that people can be racist and in denial about it. You know, like I mentioned something when I think it was on Monday's show, or maybe not, but I remember one of my first days of counseling as a client, you know, not as the president, you know, and the first thing the counselor said to me was, I just want you to know that I don't see color whenever someone walks through my door. And I thought, boy, that was a racist comment. I thought to myself, you know, but I knew that if I had explained it to the person, they would have taken the stance that what they mean is that they see everybody as being the same. And, of course, my point is, but I'm not the same as everybody. And if you overlook my color, you overlook who I am. And I'm sure their argument would have been, but see, that's what I don't want to do because then I would stereotype you. So I know that ping pong match, right? So I think there are people who think like that, and therefore, because they treat everybody the same, you know, they think they don't have a racist ideal about themselves. You know, you can't treat everybody the same, and that's really a mark of privilege to think you can. Yeah, okay. So I've probably gone on longer than I needed to at that point.
No, you're just saying about greed, greed and being able to cheat, you know, bend the rules and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That seems to be, you know, how, what it takes, you know, that's what they, the picture they paint, you know,
But see, I don't even know if, because, well, you never get answers. So let me stop going on with my point. So what do you think? You think Trump is a racist?
So,
or do you really not want to answer now?
I mean, yeah, I think that he lives in the world of that low percentage of people with income who don't have to play by the same rules, if you will. And in their world, you know, it's only one color besides green. For money, and it's what they're comfortable with their own skin color. Making America great again, yes, it goes back to what America was before. America's never been great, not for us. For them, yeah. I mean, that's
so when
just,
you say us and them, help me. Are you talking about black versus white? Are you talking about you know?
I mean, I just say people of color. I mean, Native Americans, African Americans, Mexican Americans. I mean, that's three right there. That's really got it bad from white America. You know, Mexico taking their land, black from you know, from slavery and servitude. Native Americans just being annihilated. You know, I mean, that's just three right there. And that's just, that is the history, and that is what America has been great at.
What
trying to
white
get
America
money.
Has been great at. What white America has been great at. Okay.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get the commitment of color differentiation, you know, because I don't know, I could be even talking to somebody who is the most liberal-minded person in the world, but my age, and we could be talking about the very things we're talking about, and then the person actually becomes kind of, and we could be, you know, slamming our fists on the desk and poking holes in the sky, but then as soon as the person gets ready to say something about a person, they'll go, and you know, and Joe Smith, and then they'll go, you know, he's white, and then they'll go back to, it's like, you know, I don't want anybody to hear me use that word. We've been conditioned to be gun shy about saying white, black. You know, when we're talking about something that we don't agree with, that's white. And I don't know why we do that, but we do. So I know it's like, you know, being careful not to want to do whatever. But, we can't get away from the history of a country that denies its own history. So how do you then make a country accountable for history that they deny, that they don't teach, that they refute? And that they show itself in the best possible light. You know, you can do that, right, when you're the hunter, you know, but not when you're the lion. And until lions have historians, that will never change. We even, you know, just got through talking about the woman king. But, you know, we're basing, you know, the so-called boycott on a history of something that we still don't know what the people are reading and who wrote what the people are reading who are boycotting the movie that they're saying is inaccurate. Well, everything that comes from America historically is inaccurate when it involves, you know, any color other than white. unless it's something negative in the support of a stereotype to make it black. You know, I mean, and we have this blanket word that is one of the most racist words I could ever imagine, but black people use it like it's acceptable, and that word's called minority. I mean, a minority race. How can people be okay with that? But, you know, so I know that's an awkward conversation. I mean, sure it is. You know, and even as hard as we try in this day and age to speak openly about it, black is, for some, you know, for fear of alienating our white friends. Well, if I have a white person who I consider to be a friend, then we pretty much know what we both believe. Yeah. And I don't know if I could be friends with a racist. You know, I don't know if I could. Go ahead.
Sometimes it makes me, when we get into, not we, me and you, just saying we in general. Well, let me just say me. In discussions with some people about race mm-hmm. and racism.
Yeah.
I get this, and we've talked about that phrase I have where we've talked about black people, black men especially, being killed and assassinated by policemen, right? And we say that they have to justify their own death. And these discussions of race and racism kind of hits another chord where we have to justify these moments of being treated, you know, less than human. And that's just what it is. We have to justify the truth. And the truth is right there, but we still have to prove it. You know what I mean? How much more proof do you need? But yet the conversation calls for more proof and more proof. We have to justify our own trauma. You know, you're just making it up. Or not, you know, just get over it, that kind of stuff. But it still, sometimes it just kind of gives me that same feeling. We have to still justify these feelings. We have to justify these truths that are in the history books, that we've connected the dots in this 3 years or so we've been doing this. But you present this in a discussion, and it just seems like,
well, you know, see, and we're almost at the 10-minute mark. You know, the thing that there's an argument for argument's sake, and then there's the intelligent argument. And the intelligent argument means having substantiated facts, you know, yeah. and not just passion. You know, and the first fact in my book, you know, that I don't feel can be ignored is the separation of policy writers and policy reactors. You know, the majority of Congress the minority of Congress represent are a faction of people who do not dictate social policy. They only respond and react to it. So if my representatives in Washington are not actively pursuing laws that would change perceptions, then the policymakers still have the luxury of dictating policy. So until that becomes even, until that's acknowledged evenly, you know, there are the majority of non-white Americans will have no recourse but to react to the historical perspective of policy. That's pretty much what we do. Even when there's laws passed like the Emancipation Proclamation, you know, that freed slaves and gave black men the right to vote. Now, I don't know how many levels of denial are permitted, but for people to tell me that that piece of paper really had an immediate impact on the United States and really did make this a fully functional and effective democratic way of life, well, it's full of shit. Sorry. So sometimes I just don't have another word. So anyway,
yeah.
But so let's maybe, I guess we can follow up on this possibly. come Monday. But I really want to stick to the to my intention anyway. And I want to, you know, back out of my whirlwind of commentary and give sway to you, man. So
I know that, No, you're fine, you're fine. I know that you started talking about the electoral count reform. Was there anything else that, was that everything you wanted to cover?
Yeah.
Because I just wasn't quite sure, in a nutshell, what is this going to do now, this reform?
It's going to prevent the it's going to prevent any other riots taking place in front of the Senate, the state Senate building, like it did in 2020. It's just reinforcing an old bill, but they're calling it under a new name that will keep this type of riot from ever happening again. That's all.
Okay.
So that's it, man. That's my report. I'll save my other things for next time.
Well, I mean, that's good for tonight. I really didn't have much, man. I was really kind of out of it today. I really didn't have much more to add on to that. You know, so next week, you know, we could definitely hit up, follow up on what you were saying and follow up on some other stuff that's happening too. But I'm good for tonight.
Right on. Okay, good. So let's land this airplane, bro. Yeah, I don't see any hands up anywhere out there. So, you know, just as well, because that would just bleed us over. So we got 8 minutes. You know, that leaves
right.
A couple minutes for the closing song, you know, and your closing comments. Right on.
Right on. So, ladies and gentlemen, like we say, the mic's always open for you. The phone lines are always open. So we'll just keep reminding you, dial in, press 1 on the keypad. We want to hear from you. You know, this is the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show, where we try to provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe a deeper connection with others and their experience. But it happens when we share interpretations and feelings. So, again, the mic is always open for you, Mondays and Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Live shows here on blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffects. That's the letter FX at the end. All shows are saved and archived here on the Blog Talk Radio site and where you listen to your favorite podcast platforms. Just look for the Greenhouse Effect and you will find Dad and I there. I'm Will. That's Bill over there.
Amen.
As always, we hope that you stay blessed, stay safe, and most importantly, be yourself, because everybody else is taken. So until next week, we hope to hear from you all. Go ahead, Dan.
No, I just want to thank Adam for coming into the chat room. You know, if not for him coming into the chat room, it'd be an empty chat room. You know, can always count on him. Right on, Adam. Yeah. We got to get him out here one day to you know, I'm not going to say that because then he'll want to jump right in now. But, Adam, man, you know, your comments are missed, man. Yeah, okay. All right, Will, sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to give just the acknowledgement. And I see Jay Pastor's, you know, see his phone line, you know, his phone call, rather, so he's been listening in. Always good to see his number pop up. Amen.
Always.
Yeah,
always.
And it's always good, you know, spending this time with you, man. You know, I don't think that's acknowledged enough on my part. You know, everybody else hears about it, you know, when we're not online. But I want to be sure that those who are tuned in hear it as well. I need to hear it more often, you know. And I'm looking forward to quite possibly moving this show to the next level, man. I like the idea of syndication. I like the idea of this show being carried on other radio stations. I'm kind of geeked, man. You know, I think this is the year we finally move it to the next level. So
You've been saying it.
Well, thank you for you know, for letting me be me. You know, thank you for that, man.
Oh yeah. Everybody else is taken, right?
Yeah, but sometimes people would rather that we be somebody else than the person we are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, that might sound facetious, but you know, you've heard people say, why can't you be like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay, man.
That's
love you, son.
All right. Love you too, Dad. And again, thank you. Again, thank you, everybody. That's maybe we didn't see you tonight. Maybe we didn't see you in the chat room or we didn't see you on the phone line.
Right on.
But if you're out there listening, again, we want to thank you for your support.
Absolutely.
All right, Daddy, I'll holler at you soon, man. Love you.
Okay, Will. Love you back.
All right. Good night, everybody. Take care.
Feeling this way, I guess I should be crying, but my heart just won't obey. If you'll stay, you'll be happy as I lie here on the rooftop in the rain.